Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. With me today, attorney Joe Liebman just finished a major case here. The Tea Fire finally extinguished in January 2012, started in October 2008. Joe represented homeowners suing the city of Santa Barbara. Tell me why this case even started, what was it about, and what happened?
Well, you know, Mark, looking back, it's kind of like, why did my clients actually need to hire me? They're, unfortunately, their homes burned down in the Tea Fire through no fault of their own. And the homes that I represented ultimately were located in an area designated by the city of Santa Barbara in an area near Conejo Road called the Conejo Slide or Slide Mass C. The city has a number of names that it uses. After the fire, the owners of the three homes that I represented went to the city and said, we would like to rebuild our homes. And unfortunately, the city told my clients that the slide ordinance that the city had enacted years before prevented the city from giving my clients a building permit. So every avenue my clients explored to try to rebuild was closed. They were told that they could not get a building permit. They were told that the slide ordinance would not be amended to let them rebuild. Basically, the city's position was that the area where these homes are located, the city wants to return to nature, and that's actually language taken from city documents. So it wasn't bad enough that my clients lost their homes, but they had no opportunity and no chance to rebuild their homes either. So as basically a last effort, they were referred to me. And again, no one likes to embark on litigation unless they truly have to. It's expensive and time-consuming and anxiety-provoking. But my clients really had no other avenue to try to force the city to let them rebuild. So my clients came to me, and I contacted the city and said, maybe you should change your mind because other municipalities have similar ordinances, but they have a clause in those laws that say if the houses are damaged due to non-geologic conditions, meaning not related to a landslide or earth movement, for example, if the houses burn in a fire, we will let you rebuild. County of LA has a similar ordinance and a similar provision, but the city of Santa Barbara refused to recognize that exemption with regard to my clients.
I let me ask you this. So let's say a house is damaged from the landslide. You would be okay with you wouldn't represent the homeowners to try to say, well, let me rebuild anyway?
The way the law is currently written, the homeowners do not have a right to rebuild if the damage is caused by a landslide or earth movement. That wasn't an issue litigated in my case, and I can get into the legal intricacies of it, but unfortunately, there's something called a statute of limitations that applies to legal claims, meaning that if certain claims aren't brought within a period of time, they're time barred. So with regard to claims dealing with earth movement damage to homes in this area, those likely would be time barred. But because the Tea Fire occurred in 2008, and the lawsuit was filed within 3 years of the Tea Fire, the court found over the city's objections that the claims were not time barred. They were ripe for adjudication, and that the homeowners would be entitled to proceed to trial on the issue of whether or not the city ordinance, in effect, was a regulatory taking of the property rights of my clients. So, in essence, this was a constitutional case. It dealt with and hinged on both federal and state constitutional principles.
And I like the way you reference the exemptions in L.A. County, because it seems to make sense. If you're going to have a rule about an area, and if the area, you know, if houses just can't survive there, I can understand the reasoning of, you know, well, you know, you can't rebuild, and this is, you know, but if it is destroyed by something else, I mean, the house, you rebuild it, it might be there another 200 years. You know, the fact that it's in a landslide area might not ever be impacted by it. So it seems very logical they did not agree.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mark. Before the Tea Fire, you have to realize that my clients and their neighbors resided in these homes for decades, safely, without injuries, without problems, even though the area is experiencing slow movement on an annual basis. This isn't a situation where there was imminent threat to people or property. For example, I can give you a valid example. For example, Portuguese Bend, Pacific Palisades, where you have houses perched on cliffs 200-300 feet above the ocean, and some of these houses have tumbled down the cliffs. That's not what we have here. These people lived in their homes safely and happily for decades. It was only after they burned down that the city said to my clients, you can't rebuild because the area is unsafe. Keep in mind that a number of my clients' neighbors' homes did not burn in the Tea Fire. As we know, fires are very fickle, and one home may burn while the one next to it does not burn.
So these three homes weren't isolated out on some point. There were neighbors on either side?
There were neighbors on either side. In fact, a number of their neighbors continue to live there as we speak. And the court found this to be rather persuasive, that there are homes in this neighborhood that, as of today, are still occupied in a safe fashion. The city has never told the property owners in those homes that they must leave because of safety concerns. So how is it then that the city can single out my clients and say, you can't build? Now, keep in mind that in this country, property rights are tantamount. We have protections both in the state and federal constitution to the fact that property cannot be taken by the government unless just compensation is paid. Now, we all know that the government has the right of eminent domain. The government, if it would like, can put a freeway where your house is standing today. You can't fight that decision. What you can fight is that the government must pay you fair market value, not the price the government determines, but fair market value on the open market for what your property is worth. With regard to my particular clients, in essence, that's what happened. The city was saying to my clients, you can't rebuild. You can't do anything with your property. It must remain as a vacant lot. And to make matters doubly worse, we're not going to pay you for your property. So all you have is a vacant lot where your home once stood that you can do nothing with. Now, my clients were outraged, and I think rightfully so. Again, I contended, and the court agreed with me, that the city's position in this case was a violation of the state constitution, meaning that the city, by its conduct, had constitutionally improperly barred my clients from rebuilding, and there had, in effect, been a regulatory taking of my clients' property rights, regulatory referring to the law enacted by the city. Now, keep in mind as well that in cases like this, in inverse condemnation cases, the law tells us that the cases proceed in a what's called a bifurcated fashion, meaning one—
Can you say that on radio?
You know, Mark, I've heard you use worse language, but I'll tell you later what that means, and I'll draw you a picture. But with regard to these particular cases, all kidding aside, liability is tried first, and the liability phase is always determined by the judge, by the court. So last month, we tried the liability phase, and the court found in favor of all of my clients and against the city, finding that the city had not shown that if my clients were allowed to rebuild, that their properties would be a nuisance to themselves or to neighboring properties. The damages phase of the case will be tried in the near future. So in this particular case, the city, again, argued every step of the way that my clients' claims weren't ripe. It's another constitutional principle. The city argued that my client's properties would be unsafe. And the trial court said, no. We believe that these people should be allowed to rebuild. We believe in the sanctity of property rights, of property ownership, unless the government can shoulder the heavy burden of showing that these properties present an imminent threat to persons and property nearby.
Was your case requesting that they be allowed to build and or be compensated for fair market value, or was it just allowed to rebuild?
That actually is a very interesting question, Mark.
And well, I will come up with one interesting question per show. So that was pretty much it. Talking with attorney Joe Liebman.
The issue of what happens next, does the city have to buy these properties, or does the city have to give my clients a building permit and then compensate my clients for what's called the temporary taking, or the period of time from the Tea Fire through now that they haven't been allowed to rebuild? The cases tell us that decision rests with the city, with the government. So the government has the option of saying, we've decided we will not exempt these properties from the slide ordinance. We've decided that we want to proceed on a damages trial through eminent domain to find out what the fair market value is, and then we will write these clients a check, these people a check, for the fair market value. Or another option is the city can amend the law that's prohibiting or barring my clients from rebuilding. My clients then would have the right to get a building permit. However, the period of time from the T-fire through today that they have been barred from rebuilding, that is a compensable taking. It's called a temporary taking under the law. So under any situation, the city will pay damages. If the city buys the properties, obviously, then that's the end of the story. If the city decides that they're going to give my clients a building permit, then the damages would be for the temporary prohibition they could not rebuild.
There's no damages for the temporary taking if they let them build?
No, there would be. If they.
And so I'm sorry, so the reverse, if they pay them, in either case, they have to pay for that temporary taking?
Well, in either case, they have to pay for the taking. But if the city decides that they're going to, in essence, keep the building prohibition in effect and buy my client's property rights,
yes,
there would be no compensation for the temporary taking.
What do you think? And this is, you can't affect that that decision by the city? They have the right to go either way? You can't push it one way or another? Or
no, in fact, what happens is the city attorney typically will meet in closed session with the city council. I've dealt with the state on this. I've dealt with counties on this. Anytime there's an attorney-client discussion between the governing body, in this case the city council, and its attorneys, the city attorney, it's done in closed session, so I don't have an opportunity to be there. But that decision is something the city rightfully can exercise basically within its own discretion.
It seems like for them to save face and to justify their initial position and not relenting to your suggestion of providing a modification, an exemption, to save face, they would go ahead and buy the properties because then they would be following their course and their first path to say, you know what, we really don't want people rebuilding there. On the other hand, for the city to spend, you know, good tax money to prevent people from rebuilding the homes that they may want to live in and build and that are right next to people on either side, I don't know what benefit the city gets by preventing these people from rebuilding. It's like you say, it's not as if it's on the edge of a cliff overhanging an elementary school, that some awful thing is going to happen. So it would be very interesting. What's do you want to make a guess as to what they're going to do? Or,
well, you know, Mark, looking at it from a strictly pragmatic standpoint, a financial standpoint, I would assume the city will amend the slide ordinance. But again, that's not my decision. It really is up to the city. I will be waiting to find out what the city's decision is, and I suspect we'll find out in the next couple weeks.
So we won't find out during the next break?
We will not find out during the next break.
Talking with Joe Liebman, we just took a case that lasted, you filed the lawsuit when?
Let's see, the lawsuit was filed, Mark, in, I believe it was early 2010.
Okay, so within about 2 years or a year and a half after the T-fire of October 2008, and then here in January 2012, you won.
We did win.
You won. So we just took a year and a half of your life and discussed it in 15 minutes.
Well, and what's important, I think, to take away from all this is most people think you can't sue the government and win. And I know a lot of my clients feel that at the beginning of these cases, and that's really not true.
Most, you know why? It's because of that song, I Fought the Law and the Law Won, and that put it in people's minds that they...
Is that why?
I believe so, according to Richard. So what happened... I want to finish your thought, and then we'll take a break, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit more about other slide areas. I think last time you were on, we talked about La Conchita and just try to compare that. But I'll let you just kind of wrap it up a little bit before we take our break.
Well, you know, Mark, it's interesting. I just want to make sure the public understands that if their properties suffer damage that is related to a public improvement, for example, I have a case right now against the city of Los Angeles where the city of LA failed to construct a storm drain at the end of a public street on a ridge not far from Laurel Canyon. And when the rains came, the water from that public street cascaded down the hillside because there was no storm drain for the water to go into, and caused a massive landslide that impacted the three homes, which I now represent. If you have property that you believe has been damaged by private property, obviously you have a right against your neighbors or developers. But keep in mind as well that if your property suffers damage due to a public improvement, you have similar rights. Don't think that you don't have recourse because your damage is related to something the government did or didn't do.
And I did think that because I know there seems to be a lot of walls and exemptions for this from the city, right? Generally?
There sure are. And what happens is you have to have a lawyer who knows how to get around and how to navigate through the statutory immunities, of which there are many. Again, I've been doing this for 30 years, so I understand what you need to do to be able to present your case to a judge or a jury. In other words, have your day in court. I want to follow up. There's a very interesting case, another case I have against the city of Santa Barbara in this same area, that deals with the city's refusal to maintain a public street such that my clients can now no longer drive to their homes.
Oh, let's hear about that after the break. That sounds very interesting. Should I give out your email?
Sure. It's J. Liebman, L-I-E-B-M-A-N, law. So jliebmanlaw@gmail.com.
Okay. Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com, 452-2428, 452-CHAT. We'll take a quick break, come back with Joe's story about a dead-end street. Can't drive on your own street. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.